Whenever you guys are ready, go ahead.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm State Senator Jordan Rasmussen from Fergus Falls, and we're here today to talk about this so-called deal that has been reached on ride-sharing agreements. I think, unfortunately, when Democrats go it alone, really leaves Minnesotans in the lurch. And one of the things that we saw missing from this press release that got put out is the actual rideshare companies themselves, Uber and Lyft. And it's our understanding that with this supposed framework and deal that they've come up with, that Uber and Lyft will not be operating in the state of Minnesota. And so that's a big concern for millions of Minnesotans. And we can't allow one city council that is controlled by the Democratic Socialists of America to dictate vital transportation policy for the rest of the state. And so with me here today, I also have some colleagues who have been working on this issue, Senator Zach Duckworth, who I'll hand it over to now.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jordan, and thank you all for being here. I'm sure maybe it came to a little bit of a surprise to you earlier today, as it did to some of us, to hear that somehow a solution or an agreement had been reached regarding state legislators as it pertains to the Uber and Lyft situation. I think Uber and Lyft were just as surprised. Obviously, they were very quick to say they have not been consulted. There is no deal that's been achieved or reached. And unfortunately, that leaves us very fearful that we're going to see those two companies and the valuable service they provide to folks all across the state eventually leave Minnesota. I happen to represent a good portion of Dakota County. They pioneered a program for folks with disabilities who rely upon these services to get where they need to go on a daily basis. Our elderly Minnesotans who rely on these services to get to medical appointments, to get prescriptions filled, you name it. And so I'm disappointed to see that we are now entering some phase of negotiation posturing, which is completely removed from the reality of the situation. You don't just get to declare that you've reached a solution by ignoring the major stakeholders that have to be a party to that solution. So Republicans stand ready to continue honest, bipartisan, practical work that will solve this problem by bringing those companies into the fold, trying to address some of the concerns that have been raised, but most importantly, ensuring that this service stays here in our great state and that people have the ability to benefit from it. With that being said, I would be very happy to turn over to Representative Garofalo to say a few words as well.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. Why don't you go to my left like you always are?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I think on behalf of all Minnesotans, I think there's a two-word message for the DFL today. Grow up. Okay? Grow up. This is a problem that's been totally created, a crisis that has been created by DFL politicians, dating back to last year when they passed the ill-advised bill, sticking their nose where it didn't belong. Thank goodness Governor Walz vetoed it. And now we have a Minneapolis City Council off the rails, jeopardizing what is a critical component of transportation infrastructure in our state. The time for DFL dithering and delays must come to an end. They feel very comfortable working among themselves, but the reality is Minnesota is too big of a state to have one political party making these decisions. This jeopardizes critical infrastructure. We would once again renew our cause to the Democrats to do nothing other than to compromise and work with people. Otherwise, we're gonna have more damage like we saw this weekend. It's an open secret that one of the reasons why we lost WrestleMania was because of the fact that the RRFP was dependent on rideshare. And with that lack of stability, the city of Las Vegas wisely used that leverage against us. So the amount of damage that is going to, that can be done from not taking action on this, it's more important than any other piece of legislation this session. And at the end of this session, it's important that Democrats quickly develop the skill to recognize that cooperation and compromise is the best way to move Minnesota forward. Thank you. Senator, you can.
Yeah. And I'll go to your right like I always have.
So last time you'll be invited.
Senator Abler said when he agreed to be part of their announcement, he was told that the rideshare companies had agreed to this. Was he hoodwinked?
So I'll let Senator Abler speak for himself, but I've had a chance to connect with the ride-sharing companies, and they were not involved in this process. They were just as surprised as the rest of us, and based on comments I've gotten from them, you know, their plan would still be to leave the state of Minnesota if this were to become law.
Jamie Long says they're bluffing. Do you believe that?
This is a very dangerous game of chicken for legislative Democrats to be making. And they did it last session, too. And it was Governor Walz's first and only veto of a bill. And so I don't think Uber and Lyft are bluffing. I think there's a real risk that tens of thousands of Minnesotans are the collateral damage of this reckless policy. And I know from talking with the ride-sharing companies, from conversations we've had in committee, there's a lot of compromises that could be made here that would improve compensation for drivers, give them more benefits while still maintaining ride-sharing services here in the state of Minnesota for Minnesotans who rely on them. And one of the biggest aspects, too, I've actually heard a lot from drivers who are concerned about losing the income that they make off those ride-sharing apps. And so we need to make sure that we have a solution that works for all of them and keeps Uber and Lyft here in the state of Minnesota.
Can I add to that, Jordan? I want to add to that because you ask a very important question, right? Everybody right now thinks they're posturing. Are these companies going to leave or aren't they? And people forget that specifically Uber has already taken measures to start winding down their operations in the state of Minnesota. They've closed down a location that had existed previously to help and work with drivers with the services they provide. And they have stopped some contracting with rental car fleets that provide rental cars to drivers when their cars are being worked on. So anybody out there that tells you that these companies are bluffing is either so far removed from reality or is trying to sell you on a fairy tale, because that is not the case. When these companies say that if they can't find some sort of workable solution or a true compromise, they're leaving the state of Minnesota, they mean it. And they've already started taking action and measures that show anybody who is watching this from the outside that they're dead serious.
They say this agreement is lower than what these companies have agreed to in Washington State, and that they can still make a profit in Washington State, so they should be able to make one here. Is this, are they not comparing apples and apples?
Well, here's the comical thing about this, is if you go out and look at the data in Washington, drivers in Washington are making less money than they used to because there are fewer rides. The illusion the DFL has that somehow they understand this business model more than Uber and Lyft, it's pretty comical. The reality is Uber and Lyft already price their product at the maximum price they can without destroying demand. That's what they do. If they could charge more money and not destroy demand, they would already be doing it. So in terms of our comparisons to New York City or the state of Washington, obviously the median income in a place like Seattle is a lot different than the Twin Cities metro area. So the cost that they're proposing that would be in existence in Minnesota will result in the loss of rideshare services in our state. Now, I don't know about this posturing or bluffing. The reality is that drivers right now, when they're driving, according to the study, make $52 an hour when they're driving. If you include the time they spend driving to and from their fares, they make $37 an hour. And this isn't a study that's highly biased in favor of the drivers. And so this is at a time when we're dealing with real problems and real crises, to have one created purely by politicians, it's exceptionally frustrating, and everyone would benefit if the DFL would just sit down and compromise it. I understand they have total control of the state government. I totally get that. But they would really be better off, and it'd be in the best interest of Minnesotans if we could just compromise and work together on this.
What's a compromise? Do they have to meet whatever Uber and Lyft say is what the maximum they can charge to still be profitable, or is there wiggle room here between what they've come up with now and what Uber and Lyft say is their maximum?
So in the working groups agreement, there were 24 consensus items. There are many items there that there is already agreement on. The critical issue here is that who is going to be regulating these transportation, these TNCs? Who's going to regulate them? Is it going to be a patchwork across the state of individual city councils, or is there going to be statewide regulation? The United States, 46 states do statewide preemptive regulation of rideshare services. That is the simple, easy, and direct solution to this. It provides regulatory certainty. Uber and Lyft do not need something in law telling them what to pay their those who are self-employed. It's a very simple solution. Now, I recognize that's the easiest thing for me, that perhaps there needs to be compromise, but I want to be very crystal clear on where House Republicans are at, and perhaps the Senate Democrats are the same or they are different. We have an unprecedented challenge at the end of session right now where a senator charged with a felony is casting a deciding vote on their own discipline, on issues of, on important budget items and very controversial policy. The posture the DFL takes at the end of leadership, or at the end of session, has a direct bearing to anything that needs compromise support. So I think everyone knows now that sports gambling is dead, right? That is a direct, you know, I know it's not the top issue ever for everyone, but kind of important to me. That issue is dead as a direct result of what is going on with the charges in front of Senator Mitchell. This has a chance of poisoning the end of session. We are all better off if instead of operating under a 104-seat legislature where the Democrats rule over the state, if we work together, we'll have better policy, better outcomes, and most importantly, we'll keep rideshare operating in Minnesota.
What compromise are you suggesting between Democrats and Republicans, not necessarily those negotiating for drivers and those negotiating for Uber and Lyft?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Say it again.
So the compromise that you're suggesting is not necessarily one between the people negotiating for Uber and Lyft and those negotiating for the drivers, but rather one negotiated between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, I'm suggesting a that we actually just get together and talk. I mean, I asked our entire caucus today if anyone has had any meetings with the DFL on this, and the answer is no. And we have 8 session days left, 7 if you exclude today. So it's just an agreement of making sure we're representing all of Minnesotans instead of cramming things down their throat. Let's work together and fix this problem. Because let's be very clear, if rideshare services leave our state, no one wins. Everyone loses.
So you said that you don't think people who are self-employed, the state should be making minimum rates, but would you vote for a compromise that includes minimum rates for rideshare drivers if Republican votes are needed to get something passed?
I know, first of all, you restated my position, and I want to make sure that I heard you right and that you heard me correct, so I'm going to restate my position, that the easiest, simplest, and most direct way to solve this problem today is to have statewide preemption for our TNCs. That is the best way to do it. It provides regulatory certainty. It allows these independent contractors to continue. It's not to categorize them as employees or some sort of hybrid model where they're not a contractor or some sort of two-headed monster where they're not an employee. So in terms of what we're willing to vote for, let's just have a meeting so we can sit down and address each other's concerns. I would tell you I have deep concerns about specifying the pay for self-employed individuals in state law. I mean, going forward, when rideshare drivers want more money, what, they're going to petition the legislature to change the law? I have deep concerns about that, but it pales in comparison to the concerns we all have about losing rideshare services in Minnesota.
What are you getting in a statewide framework, not just for the metro?
Say it again.
What do you guys make?
I don't think Fergus Falls has Uber, do they?
No, Fergus Falls doesn't have Uber or Lyft, but a lot of my constituents utilize those services when they're coming to the Twin Cities, when they're flying in and out of Minneapolis Airport. I do think a statewide framework is important, and because we've seen the damage of just one city and their actions, how that can impact an entire state's transportation network system. And so I do think we need to have a statewide preemption. We do need to have a statewide policy, and that's what Uber and Lyft are actually asking for. That's what the governor is recommending. And so I think there's a lot of reasonable opportunity for compromise within that framework.
So you're talking about statewide preemption, but you're not talking about compromising on rates or insurance or anything like that. So there's not a,
No, I think Uber and Lyft, and I think Republicans in both caucuses want our priority is to keep Uber and Lyft in the state, to keep those services here. And so open to conversations around what that could look like and different protections for drivers that could be in a statewide policy. We just think it's important that at the end of the day, it keeps those services available and also making sure that localities can't upset the apple cart and drive them out.
Okay. The only reason I followed up on that and was confused is because I hear Republicans don't want to set minimum, wade into the area of setting minimum rates for independent contractors, making this third way, and yet there could be a deal where you set minimum rates for 89 cents a mile and 49 cents a minute that keeps the companies here. But then that goes against the principle of setting rates for independent contractors. So I just am curious what Republicans would actually support in a bill if Republican votes were needed.
Yeah.
Okay. Since I was the one who opened my mouth. So, no, and things like the type of insurance that's being offered to these drivers, there is essentially agreement. We all agree that there should be background checks for drivers. Right now, that's done with a patchwork of municipal ordinances. Those are good things. Again, I would point you to the 24 consensus items in the agreement, or in the working group's product. Those are all things we can get behind and support. Now, there are other more controversial ideas that are floating around in terms of taking away the designation as independent contractors. That would be unprecedented and completely disruptive to the business model. That's not going to work. There's a lot of things that we can point to as poison pills, but at the end of the day, the important thing is if we're meeting together, if Republicans and Democrats are involved, we've got a much better chance of success than taking a one-sided DFL-only approach and presenting it to the public as some sort of agreement.
Republicans have leverage on other issues through the bonding bill. I mean, is this being connected at all, or is this a possibility to be discussed to try to get a deal by the end of the session?
I mean, I think the important thing is in a general tone, you want to have, at the end of every session, you want to have cooperation and compromise. There's going to be give and take. And the sort of 800-pound gorilla overseeing this entire session is, what role is Senator Mitchell going to have in this process? Are they really going to jam through a legislative agenda reliant on a person who's been charged with a felony? Are they really going to do that? It's just going to make compromise. If they do that, it'll be much more difficult to compromise on other issues. And we've already seen the early casualty of sports gambling.
All right. Any other questions?
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.